Now, the next very important thing that I want us to learn about reading is, because I'm sharing this about reading, is that reading is the planting of a seed in your life. Why? Because Jesus said in the parable of the sower, the word of God is the seed. Now, what happens is that when you have no seed planted in you, nothing grows, nothing wonderful comes out of your life. And that is why you are not supposed to marry your sister. Is that not true? Do you have that in South Africa, marrying your brothers and sisters? Where you have that, you have a lot of diseases. One time I went to a certain city for a crusade. I've never seen as many abnormalities. And we found out that they have a lot of incest, where the people marry their sisters and so on. That causes a lot of weaknesses. Because what happens is that the weaknesses in your genes combine with the weaknesses of your same genes in your sister to provide and to produce a multiplied weakness. Yes. So that is why you marry sometimes as far as possible from a different place, and then it helps to take your strength and the other person's strength, or your strength and the other person's weakness combined, and you get a better product. So where you don't have an outside seed, it leads to inbreeding and it leads to death. Now, Ghana, for instance, is the number one or number two world producer of cocoa. And we became the world producer of cocoa, and all our country's revenue and everything has depended on this cocoa for years. All right? It's not a good idea, but that's what we do, because all countries that are poor depend on farming. All right? So we depend on that, and that has been a big thing for Ghana. So the economy of the country depended on this cocoa, and this cocoa came to Ghana from a man called Tete Kwashi, who came to Ghana some couple of hundred years ago with the seed, the cocoa seed. We didn't have cocoa in Ghana, and he brought the seed. So he's a famous person, and we have a big interchange in the center of the city named after this man who brought the seed. Just one seed. He was carrying in his bag all our roads, our harbors, our airports, our schools, our universities, was in that seed. So what people don't realize is how valuable a seed is. Yes. And so when you receive a book, it's like receiving a seed or the makane. And that's why we came here to sow these seeds. We are not doing business. If we wanted to do business, we'd do real business. This is not business. There's nothing business about, you can see. There's nothing business about anything going on here. Yes. Yeah. You can go to the shop and find out how much things cost. Yes. If you got 40 books and it's being sold to you at $40, it means it's $1. What is business? This is from Dubai. Printed in Dubai. We brought it here. Yes. It's not a business. So my friends, rather see yourself as someone who is having a seed planted. And plant seeds intentionally in yourself. I traveled to Korea for conferences, church growth conference. I wanted to hear from Yonggi Cho, who had the pastor, or the pastor of the largest church. You see, a pastor must have a burning vision to plant seeds of certain things in your soul. That's why when you see a book, church growth, of course you want your church to grow. Everything depends on the church working. We are here, our church pays, our partners and churches pay for us to have the crusade here. We are not dependent on what anything coming from you. And these books have been paid for already. It's not a loan. We don't need to get money back to pay for anything. can give your attention to. Pastors, are you listening to me? I said the church is the greatest thing you can give your attention and your love. It's one of the ways you show your love for God. You cannot love God without loving His house. You show your love for God also by loving His house and His people. My love for God shows in my love for you and your churches and how I want your churches to work. Amen. People don't realize how important the seed is. I remember watching. I mean, when I look at my life, I said, a little book, somebody gave me, read this book. And I just read it and said, wow. That was it. That's my whole life. My life, my ministry, my car, my house, everything about me. I've never worked anywhere except in the house of God. Yeah. I worked for 1 year as a doctor and that was it. After that, finish. Church. I don't write books for businessmen. My books are not for business. My books are for church. And they are not for popularity. Look, I wrote a book called Losing, Suffering, Sacrificing, and Dying. I was in America once at a book launch, and an American lady looked at this book and said, "What a nasty title! Who will ever buy such a book?" But you see, when the church got to America, it became a business. But this is not a business. I don't mind if you don't buy it. If you don't buy it, it doesn't change my life. And I didn't write it so that a lot of people would buy it. It's not a business. I'm not making best sellers. Selling best. No. I am ministering the word of God that God has given to me. I'm ministering. When I preach, it's not a best-selling sermon. It must please God. Losing, suffering, sacrificing, and dying. But they're only teaching you how to have success without limits. But Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. We are called in Philippians 1:27 not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His name. Take up your cross. Follow Jesus. The preaching of the cross is the power of God. When you take away the cross, you take away the power. That is why the church is powerless, because we are no more teaching to sacrifice and to suffer for God. So power has gone out of the church. Power is out. Have you noticed our friends who are doing suicide bombing? Their religion is becoming stronger and mightier as they are doing more amazing things to even kill themselves. Because there is a principle that sacrifices releases power. Yeah. Look, you know, the Holy Spirit said to me, preach about sacrifice. Not write, preach about sacrifice. And I said, sacrifice? I've never preached about sacrifice. When you look through the Bible, who ever served God without a sacrifice? Adam, Eve, Cain, Abel. You start hearing about sacrifices from the beginning. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon. There is nothing like serving God without sacrificing. Present your body a living sacrifice. Except a man lose his life for my sake, he cannot gain it. If you gain, you will lose. If you lose, you will gain it. Is it not Jesus' words? Take up your cross and follow me where? To a party? Are you taking a cross to a party? Are you taking a cross to the beach? Or you are taking a cross to go and die somewhere? That's why there's no missionary from South Africa. I've not seen any missionary from South Africa going anywhere. You know so much, you are the richest country. Are you not the richest country? You make helicopters, you make Mercedes-Benz, you make BMWs, you make missiles, you make cruise missiles. I know you make missiles here. You make cruise missiles. You are the great South Africa. Are you not the the ones who made Mr. Price and Game and all these supermarkets you are selling. But I still haven't seen any South African pastor standing in any country and say, I'm planting a church. This great man of God, he's a South African man of God. He came to Kenya to start this church and he has blessed, the nation is blessed with it. Have you seen it? Nowhere. Nowhere. Because you see, when you preach good life and you preach and you impart a lust for material things and safety and a lust for prosperity, nobody's going to go anywhere. Nobody's going to die for God. Nobody's going to give up his life. No young man is going to come and go and do anything for God. All the young men want money. They want what the pastor is imparting to them. And he's imparting to them a lust for money and a lust for material things. That is what he's imparting. It comes from the pulpit. It comes from us, the pastors. Look, I'm going to tell you a book and I want to give you this homework. I want everybody to go and get this book. It's called The Final Quest by Rick Joyner. I didn't write it, in case you're thinking I'm selling you another book. Rick Joyner, The Final Quest. Go and read it and get one copy of that book. Okay, order it. You'll see he had visions. He found he was taken to heaven and he met several pastors who had died. I tell you, you can't believe you're a pastor. You, the most interesting book for you. Because it's showing judgment. You know, and there was one pastor who had written many books. And the guy told him, look, when I came to heaven and I saw my books, he said, I wanted to crush them into powder. I wanted them to disappear at the judgment throne. It's like, what have I written? What was I thinking about? What was I writing? I wanted to crush them into powder. Then he met Paul. Getting to the end of the... When you go read the chapter is called The White Throne. It's all, there are about five chapters in the book. One of them is called The White Throne. Read it. I'm telling you, you'll be blessed. And then, at the end of the book, he meets Apostle Paul. And he was talking to Paul in the vision, in heaven. And Paul said to him, he asked Paul, do you have any message for the church? Paul said, I have no message. What I've written is what I have to say. And I'm amazed that the Lord has used my writings so much. He said, I'm amazed that God has used my writings. He said, at the end of my life, I was broken. Everything I had done was finished. I'm amazed that God took my writings and has used it so much. Every day, every Sunday, Paul's name is mentioned in every church. Then he was just parting. He was going. Paul was here. He was here. He was going away. And then Paul said, no, anyway, there's one thing I would say. How many would like to know what Paul had to say about us? Only these people. Okay, 1, 2, 3. See me after the service. Are there more who want to know what Paul? Paul said, and this shocked me. Paul said, apart from a few places on earth, we in heaven, when we watch you guys in the church, we cannot recognize the message you are preaching. And we cannot recognize the ministry. Go read it yourself. I didn't write it. So Rick Joyner turned to him and said, what do you mean by you can't recognize the message of the ministry? And Paul said, when we were on earth doing ministry, ministry and the message was the message and the ministry of sacrifice. He said, now it seems to be something different. And he said, apart from a few places, he can't recognize what we are talking about. Yeah. Sacrifice. You throw out the cross, you throw out the power. Look, if I check for HIV, are you girls married? Yeah. If I check all the unmarried girls to see how many of you are virgins, you cannot find any virgin anymore in the church. The only virgins left are aeroplanes, Virgin Atlantic, and so on. These are the only virgins left. Yes. You can't find virgins anymore. Yes. Yeah. True. I wonder if these people sitting there are virgins. You find a virgin here? Virgin? That you sacrifice and you control yourself and say, I'm not going to have sex because I am not married today. That's why HIV in the world and HIV in the church is the same rate. There's no power to control yourself, no power to overcome sin, no power to live and do what is right. Power is gone because the sacrifice preaching is being thrown out. Most churches don't even have a cross. Most churches don't have a cross even. I don't know if you have one here, but most churches don't have a cross. There's one here. And it's covered by this dove. Hey! No, there's crosses here. There's crosses here. Windows are crosses. And even when we have the cross, it's very psychedelic. You can't even see that it's a cross. It looks like a design. Like the white cross the girl gave me yesterday. That was a powerful cross. You see it so clearly. Is she here? The cross lady? Okay. Wow. Throw away the power. And so you see, in America, you'll not find an American here walking in South Africa coming to plant a church. The church has changed. Power of the church is gone. But years ago, you find Americans living here. They live in Zambia. They live in Malawi. They live in Ghana. They live in Nigeria. They live there and they die there. They die for God, for what they believe. But we've thrown away the cross. Now it's all about money, safety, security, prosperity, abundance, blessing, good life. Good life today, good life now, good life forever. Wow. Is it not true what I'm saying? Or I'm saying something that is not true? Are you angry with me? Am I saying what is true or it's not true? One day, I visited my beloved, my wife. She was not my wife then. She was just a friend. And she was staying with her friend. When I got to the house, I entered the house. And I was just passing through the gate. And I saw a dog. So big, it was like this. Hey! When I saw the dog, I shouted, I said, no, my life is in danger. So I ran away. Then I was running and she said, no, I shouldn't worry. This dog is powerless. Yeah. And she just shooed the dog. The dog was like a big goat or a baby calf or something. Ouch. And the dog just was nothing. I said, how does it look so big and so frightening, but it has no power? That's how the church has become. Big, no power. Why? Because the dog was castrated. The balls of the dog were gone. That little thing is what brings the power. The testosterone is gone. Now it just become bigger. We are looking at the harvest. We are looking at the harvest like that. No power to go anywhere. Even to Polokwane, you cannot go. Even to Pretoria, you cannot go. Even to just here around. Look at how South Africa is falling into the power of evil. Falling to the power of evil. Falling. And we are pastors and we are the church. And it's happening whilst we are the pastors. No, it's not a good thing. We need to bring back the preaching. So Jesus told me, preach about sacrifice. And I kept preaching about it. That's how come I wrote this book. It's a very important subject. Very important. It must come back to the church. Without it, we are just big, but powerless. Yes. Are you there or you're going home? So, reading is very important because it plants a seed. When you read this and you believe it and you study it carefully, all my books is the scripture. If you don't like the Bible, don't even bother with my books. You won't enjoy them. If you want the word, then you like the book. But if you don't like the word, you don't even read it. You just fall asleep. It's like reading Leviticus in the night. You just sleep with it. Hey. How many want a very great seed to be planted in your life? Oh, yes. Yes. That's why, you know, that's why I offer you this. I say, look, that's not the price. This is not the price. You can ask. We sold this in Soweto this year, $240. $240. This. And I'm offering to you for registration. Only registration. Other apart from that, it's being sold. Those who came to Soweto for our iron sharpener, they bought this for $240. Why will I be doing this? Why? Because a seed, you have no idea how valuable it is. One day I watched, listen, have I told you that story before? One day I watched a film, a documentary about a famous horse. This horse was a champion race horse in, I think, America. And it was winning. And one day the owner became wise and said, my horse can fall down one day and break the leg. So he decided, I'm going to keep my horse at home. And anybody who wants to breed can bring a wife to my horse, and my horse will cross the horse, and then you take your female away. Okay? And but he was going to charge for that, for the horse's seeds, the horse's sperms, the horse's seeds. Yes. Do you know how much it costs for one weekend with the horse? I'm asking you a question. Do you know how much it costs to have the seed of this famous race horse? Shall I tell you how much it costs? To have you bring your female for one weekend to cross with my horse. $2 million. To cross. I watched it live. Not somebody told me. I watched 2 million times 14. Eh? That's 28 million rands. To cross one. That is the power and the value and the cost of a seed. That is the value and the cost. Look at me standing here. My whole life. So many people work for me. I have churches in 66 countries. All of them, they are all employees, if you want to call them employees. They are more like family. All these people, they all work for me. I have lawyers, doctors. The last time I checked, I had 30 medical doctors that work for me full time. Yeah. Oh, this one is a doctor. I have them all around. They sell books. They do all kinds of things. Lawyers, international, Americans, British, different countries. They all work. They all work with me. Some of the people you see, they are Americans. They are not from Ghana. You wouldn't know who they are. Yeah. Look, the person who gave me the book was giving me my life. I didn't even know what was being given to me. The person who gave me the book was giving me my employees, my ministry, my cars, my every. The person who gave me the book. Just a seed. Just a seed. So I want to encourage everybody here. Go into the word. Look, in Mark chapter 6, Jesus said, or they spoke about Jesus when they saw his ministry. They said, what wisdom is this? What wisdom is this that such mighty works are wrought by his hands? What wisdom is this which is given unto him? That even such mighty, mighty works. You see, mighty works are a product of God's wisdom. And what are we sharing with you? The word of God, the knowledge, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of wisdom, the anointing. In Matthew 13, it says, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? When this man get this wisdom and these mighty works. Mighty works. Mighty. If you want to be involved with mighty works for God. And mighty works in your life. And mighty works in your ministry. Mighty works are a product of God's your life. What wisdom is this? What wisdom is this? What wisdom is this which is given unto him that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Where did he get these things from? Where did he get these things from? Where did he get these things from? Where did he get them from? Whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? You are limited by the limited knowledge and maybe many times what I'll call inbreeding knowledge. Just, you know, like sometimes denominations, just within your denomination, you don't cross over, you don't receive any seed from anywhere. Yes. Yes. It affects us badly. Badly. We are so limited by what we know. Whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty? Many of us, the works we are doing, you don't realize that you are a lion sheep. You are a lion sheep. If you start to receive the wisdom and you start to look, you will see you are so great. Like South Africa, honestly, you people don't know. You should travel. Look, when you travel, you realize that there is no country like South Africa in Africa. There is no country as like how it is as a country. No. You don't know the country you are in. Yeah. You are like a lion sheep. The day you go to the waterside and drink, and you see who you are, and you say, what am I eating grass for? Lion eating grass. But it's because, you see, the Bible says the word of God is like a mirror which a man looks into and he sees himself and he sees what he is. And God is sure. How did John the Baptist know who he was? He read it in Isaiah chapter 40. He said, this is the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. How did Jesus know who he was? He saw it in Isaiah. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He read from the scripture. He said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled here. When you read some of these books and you receive some of this word, you will start to say, this day, this thing is fulfilled in my life practically. And I am seeing it practically in my life today. Take up your cross. Follow me.
Take up your cross.
To you. Now, loyalty and disloyalty. The first thing that I want to say about loyalty is that there are seven books, and thankfully all the seven books are in this. This one has all the books. Why is loyalty important? Can you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 2. Loyalty is important because it is a principal requirement for a steward of God. Amen. It is required. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2 says, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Amen. So what it is that people don't realize that loyalty or faithfulness is what God requires. And at the end of your life and at the end of your ministry, there are two words you want to be hearing, and that is, well done, good and famous servant. Good and famous servant. No, well done, good and fantastic servant. No, well done, good and fabulous servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. Faithful. Now, faithful, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2. Please note that verse. It is required in stewards. You see, if you are a steward, a minister, a servant, a chorister, a pastor, an assistant pastor, a deacon, whatever, an elder, a boss in the church, it is a requirement, okay, that a man be found faithful. Now, faithful means, number one, loyal. Number two, constant. Number three, the same. It means to be the same. Now, we as pastors have not been faithful. What do we preach about? We've changed what we preach. We are now the champion money preachers of the whole world. Put on the television and you see, hey, money, success, power, this, get that, you can have this, this and that. Hey, sometimes you wonder whether you've tuned into a bank or to a university seminar or some kind of motivational nonsense that we have. You can never replace the word of God with motivational nonsense. I don't care if you don't like me, honestly. It doesn't really bother me. I'm preaching the word of God. You cannot. There is nothing greater than the word of God. You want to motivate people, do a motivational seminar and motivate the people. And you are blessed. It is nice. It is good. But you see, the church, I can't stand here and preach chemistry. You see, it's so clear to you that chemistry is nonsense here. It doesn't mean it's not true. It's true, but it's out of place. Anything you do out of place becomes an oddity. It's way out of context. We all bath. If one of you gets up now and starts having your bath here, it's not that it's wrong to bath, but it's out of context to bath here. And bathing here now is going to come something funny, something different. You'll be sent to the psychiatric a hospital immediately. And perhaps some of us pastors need some psychiatric assessment to ask ourselves, what are we doing? We are taking money out of its context. And we have magnified it as the God. Money is the ultimate idol. I tell you, it's the ultimate idol. It's the most profound alternative to God. Jesus never said, you can either serve God or the devil. No, he said, you serve God or mammon. That is why it is the ultimate idol. It's the ultimate alternative. Almost everybody who doesn't obey God because of money. It's controlling us. It's telling us what to do. It's telling us what to preach. It's coming to the house of God. And it's taking over our words. It's set aside the stories of Jesus, the parables of Jesus, discipleship, all the wonderful things, evangelism, witnessing. It's all out. It's been replaced with, if you obey me and serve me, you will live your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Glory to God. This is coming to some people. Psalm 37, in 37 days, there will be a blessing of $37 to everyone who gives. Hey, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. We are prophesying lies. Lies upon lies upon lies. That's why yesterday I said, how many have told more than 100 lies? What about pastors? We are all included in the lies. It's required that a man be found faithful. I must stay with the gospel. Somebody accused me, said, as for me, I preach basics. You say me, I preach basics. He was trying to make fun of me that I don't have. He said he doesn't have revelation. I don't have revelation. How would I write the books that I have written that are in different countries? And he said I preach basics. You are calling my preaching basics because you are a backsliding preacher, and that's why you consider the real gospel as basics, because you are backsliding away from the real and the main gospel. You are the one who is backsliding. Stop fretting yourself about money and let's be faithful. I experience much more prosperity than all the people who are talking about prosperity all the time. I don't know what you are talking about. Yeah. You see this fleet that we have here, we have the same thing in West Africa. This same thing. Because you drive on the left here, we drive on the right there. We can't drive down. That is for all countries. We've been to so many nations. Driving with hundreds of people. Preaching. Town after town after town. Yeah. If we were poor, we would not be here. You are preaching about prosperity every day. You don't have anything to. When we take offering here, you can't pay. Even this $40 to pay for this, you are as if we are extracting, doing blood transfusion. We are removing your blood. As if we are removing your blood. Hey. It is required. Listen, stewards, learn this. Be faithful. Let me tell you, let me confess something bad I did one day. One day I went to Tulsa, Oklahoma to visit Kenneth Hagin's ministry. When I got there, he announced the topic. I was there for 1 week, Winter Bible Seminar. He announced the topic this week. Give me a bit of volume. The topic this week is ABC of faith. Hagin was 84 years old or so. 84, 85 years old. When I went, just a year before he died. A year or two before he died. When he announced ABC of faith, I thought to myself, what? I didn't travel 12,000 miles to come and listen to ABC of faith. At this stage of my life,
Christians, we want to hear wonderful stories.
And as I was sitting there, the Holy Spirit said to me, you know something? Instead of being discontented and irritated with God's servant, why don't you sit humbly and learn a secret of lasting for a long time? This man, I called him when he was 19 years old and I told him to preach about faith. He's 84 years old and he has never deviated from what I asked him to do. And look at us, look at us. How old are you? You've already become a motivational speaker. When you started, were you a motivational speaker? I'm asking, when you started, when you started preaching about money, was it not because you love God? Oh, I love God. I want to follow Jesus and this and that. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to preach His word. What has become of you? So quickly you have changed completely. We can hardly recognize you today and how you were before. The things you said when you said, God has called me. I was giving my life to Him. I was going to follow Jesus. I'm going to preach His word. I'm going to preach His word. Now, when you open your mouth,
today I have 25 steps to super abundance.
Super abundance. Hey. Fantastic. First Corinthians, listen, you want to believe in loyalty? The first thing you must know about loyalty is that it is the basic requirement of a steward to be faithful. And all of us who join churches, your duty is to be faithful. If those members of Maranatha, this church, who were there at the beginning, who said, Pastor, I love you. Pastor, I will die for you. Pastor, I've never heard such a message. Hey, Pastor, this is a wonderful church, a wonderful message. I've been so blessed by your message. I've never heard somebody preach like this before. It's so marvelous. I really love. If all those people were to remain the same, this church would be full every Sunday. But many of them, they said, oh, Pastor, I really love you. I've never been to a church where the preaching is so fantastic. I never go there. And you also don't want that. And I said, I don't want that. Next moment, I'm off. See you later. They change in just 1 second. Because of that, pastors don't even read letters when they write to them. When people write, they say, dear Pastor, I've been so blessed by your ministry. God bless you, Pastor. They don't even read it. They say, look, it's another person. Just talking garbage. Within the next 3 weeks, when something happens, the person will leave. So many of you have been jumping from church to church like grasshoppers. You are like grasshoppers jumping from church to church. Grasshoppers. There's no faithfulness. There's no loyalty found in you. That's why churches cannot grow. Because you don't know the value of loyalty and faithfulness. And as long as you criticize me, as I'm preaching about loyalty and faithfulness, you criticize me, you will never have a large church. You watch and see. Yeah. Because without faithfulness, he's a bishop. He has his own cathedral and what have you. It's the same. We are the same church. He has his cathedrals with so many other church branches and projects, and it's all, we are all together. It's the same church. I knew him. He was a student. He was a student in medical school. As a pastor, he was a student. I officiated his wedding. I knew his wife, counseled them, married them more than 20 years ago. Married them, appointed him as a pastor one day, ordained him as a reverend, consecrated him. Oh, they are with me. It's my family. It's the same group. It's the same family. If he was also to take off, this one goes, then you are left naked. Can you imagine if you have your children, everyone leaves and says, I've changed my name. I'm no more called a Karen. Or I'm no more called this. I've changed my name. So many of you have been changing your spiritual names. Then you come and when you see a visitor,
you say, Pastor, I want to see you after the service. I need you to be my mentor. When you were preaching, I saw in you a light. And I know that God has chosen you to be my mentor.
What about your original mentor? Where you come from? What about your church? When you see a visitor, you say, this visitor, how can the visitor become your mentor? How can you adopt a father just now? You saw him in 2 minutes. Nonsense. So, pastors, let's be faithful. And when we are faithful, our members will also be faithful. Our assistant must be faithful. And we must teach it. Then we come to those who are ignorant. These are the people who spoil churches. If you are building a church, these seven people will spoil your church. Those who pretend, those who leave, those who forget, those who are dangerous sons. They are your sons, but they are dangerous. Those who are ignorant, those who accuse you, and those who are disloyal. I wrote a book for each one because each one deserves a book. Each one of these people deserves a book. Not a letter, a whole book. Are you still around or you are leaving? When Absalom decided to attack his own father as a dangerous son, help me. Either book, dangerous son. As a dangerous son. What is a son? Let me tell you, a son is somebody you brought forth. You appointed him. He would not have been who he is unless you have ordained him, appointed him, or introduced him, or trained him, or discipled him. And he becomes your son. First Corinthians 4:15. He says, you have 10,000 teachers, but you have not many fathers. This book is about fathers. There are people who are fathers. They bring things forth. Father is not about age. You may be old, but you are not a father. I became a father when I was about 25 or 26 years old. You don't become father when you are just because of age, but because you bring forth people. Do you understand? And somebody brought you into the ministry. Then you see me as a visitor. You are appointing me as your father. How can you appoint me as a father? Oh, yes. I've seen it many times. I had one guy. I appointed him as a pastor, trained him. Even when I appointed him, somebody who knew him was amazed that I would make such a person a pastor. Because he was not expected at all to do well. When I appointed him as a pastor, a bishop where he used to go to church some many years before sent a message and said, wow, Doug is doing wonders. The wonders I'm doing is to make such a person a pastor. And when this boy was attacking me, he forgot that it was a wonder that I have even found him worthy and appointed him as a pastor. Some of you are wicked and ungrateful people. Wicked sons. You are a son, all right, but you are dangerous. Hey! Look at Absalom. You have attacked your own father, the person who laid hands on you, who appointed you, who helped you, who brought you up. Absalom said, I am going to attack King David, my father. And he rose up and went after his own father with a sword. You have a church and you stand in your pulpit and you say bad things about Pastor Karen. Or you say bad things about people who have brought you up, nurtured you here. And just because you have grown some small wings and you now start to make comments and pass snide remarks and throw vomitus all over the place. You better watch out. And that is why you see, we don't just, loyalty is not something that we breathe. It's something we have to teach. Because the Bible says in 2 Samuel 13, it says, 200 men followed Absalom in the innocence of their minds. They were ignorant and innocent. So they followed a dangerous person. Oh yeah. When you don't teach it, your people will follow. You have to teach it in the church. There is something we have, a video with loyalty messages. Where is it? What is it called? Do we have that? Serena, do we have that? Okay. But you'll find all those products, which they unfortunately your airport has hijacked them. But when you see them, this Makanai, you see all these things are on it. On Makanai Iron, the teachings on loyalty. Loyalty collection, right there. That's it. 18 hours, video. Yeah. Play it in your church for people to hear. All this leaving of churches, running from church to church, all those things will stop. All those things will stop so that there will be stability and there will be peace in the church so the church can grow and develop. Don't despise it. Get them. Get knowledge. With all you're getting, get wisdom. That's what the Bible says. Get it actively. 200 guys followed in the innocence of their mind. They did not know what they were doing. Some of you followed devil Absaloms. And you say you are starting a new church. Huh? Some of you pastors, you've attacked your own father. Your name is not John. Your name is Absalom. Your spiritual name is Absalom. I'm telling you. I came to Worcester to tell you that your spiritual name is Absalom because you are an attacker of a father. Dangerous sons. Dangerous. Look at Noah. God called Noah. He built an ark. He evangelized the whole world, had crusades around the whole world. Nobody gave his life to Christ. Only goats, leopards, lions, giraffe, and antelopes gave their life to Christ. And his three sons. And he took them into his church and crossed the waters. When the waters came down, Noah was now relaxing in his tent. And he drank wine, the wine that some of you are working farms. Some of you, your work is to make people drunk. Yes, that's the work you are doing. That's why the Bible says judge with righteous judgment. Don't judge too quickly. Noah was relaxing in his tent and he drank wine, what you are making, and he took off his clothes, took off his shoes, started undressing, and he just fell asleep. And his son, he had a son called Ham, the one who gave birth to Ethiopia, Sudan, Egypt, and all the African nations. Yes. Ham was passing by and decided to say hello to his father. When he came in, he saw his father's nakedness. He said, "What? Look at daddy." And he got his Samsung phone. Facebook. Put on. WhatsApp. Look at this man of God. Every day preaching, every day talking. Look at what is. And he made fun. Watch out. Look, people who mock pastors, you must be very careful for your life. I'm telling you. Your end will be sad. Your end will be sad. People who mock fathers. Then two other brothers came in. When they saw their father's nakedness, the Bible said they turned around. Come with me. They turned around like this and they walked back with the jacket. Can I borrow your jacket, please? Walk back. Don't look. And they put it on. Put it cover. Don't look. They went. Let's go. We don't want to know this. So we want to know. No, we don't want to know. What happened? We don't care. Oh, can you tell us? No, we don't. Cannot tell you. We don't know anything. There's nothing. But some of you, you want to know. You want to destroy because of a wicked spirit. Somebody, look. What Ham forgot was that if Noah had not built an ark, to stay. He would have drowned long time ago. So for him to be standing there to mock his father, he will not even be alive. Some of you would not even be Christians. You'd have died and gone to hell if it wasn't for your pastor. He's preached to you. You would have died and gone to hell. You have the audacity when you grow up to attack him and throw a spear and an arrow into the heart of somebody who has loved you and just been kind to you. No. I don't know what's going to happen to you. When Noah got up, he cursed him. And you see, today, if you go all around the world, from Australia to America, you cannot have any explanation for the state of black people. Because he said, a servant of servants you shall be. Now think of it, does a servant build a house? I'm asking you a question. Do servants usually build houses? What about the servant servant?
No.
Go around Africa, you see, you cannot build anything. You people don't know, you don't know what you have in South Africa. You cannot build anything. That's when you realize that what is working is not economic difference, democracy, this, that, whatever. It is a curse and a blessing. Those are the things that are working. But it's up to you. You don't have to believe it. You just go around and see. You don't travel enough. You must travel. Come around. Let's go around the world. Come to Australia. See black people in Australia. Come to America. Come and see black people in America. Come around. Come around the whole world, the only continent which is going down for the last 30 years. The only continent here. Go around even within South Africa. See the differences. Since we took over, you just watch and see. It's like magic. Go to Zimbabwe. I carry in my wallet all the time Zimbabwean money because it makes me feel rich. When I'm on a plane, sometimes I want to buy something, they say it costs $100 or $60. And I say, oh, I have 10 billion. And I give them 10 billion or 10 trillion. Wow. $10 trillion was used to buy bread in Zimbabwe. Yeah. Listen, my friend. Those of you who have made yourself fighters against fathers, be very careful. Because the ark you see was built through obedience. And you see God's love for people and his servants, you have to be careful. God has a different way of looking at people. Look, most of the Bible was written by three murderers. Yes. Most of the Bible was written by three murderers. Murderer number one, Moses. You know, Moses was wanted for murder in Egypt. Now, this is the person that God used. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, all five books of Moses. The second murderer, I don't know if you have anybody like that in South Africa. He murdered his own assistant and then married the assistant's wife after murdering the person. Bathsheba's husband. He organized his killing. He used what we call a cat's paw. He used somebody to kill the person. It's called a cat's paw. Yeah. Sometimes when you can't do something yourself, you use what we call a cat's paw. You use somebody. So he used some people to kill Uriah. You know what a cat's paw is? Somebody you use to do something. Yeah. You don't use your own hand. You use the cat's paw to put it in the hot fire to take the thing that you want from the fire, because you don't want to burn your fingers. Yeah. Like a man, there was a certain man, and there was a guy there who was throwing stones at him. Every day was throwing stones at him. He said, stop throwing stones at me. The man would not stop throwing stones at him. So one day, when the man threw stones at him, he went to the man and gave him 50 rands. He said, for the energy and the accuracy throwing stones at me. And the man was so happy. And he told him, I can only give you 50 rands. You see this man here? He showed him a man. This man will give you 500 rands if you throw stones at him. It was an army commander. He said, if you throw stone at this man, he will give you 500 rands. And the man was so happy. He said, really? Yes, he will give you 500 rands. So he turned and started throwing stones at the army commander. Hey! The army commander commanded his troops to beat the man up almost to death. Yes. So he used the army commander to discipline the guy. Yeah, that's a cat's paw. That's what we mean by cat's paw. Do you understand a cat's paw? Yeah, okay. That's just by the way. It's a nice story you can tell your child. But anyway, listen. So David used, what is the name? Uriah. He killed Uriah. Took his wife. He wrote most all the Psalms. The Lord is, where is she? The Lord is my shepherd. Sing it for me. I shall not want. That's David's murderer. Third murderer is Paul. So he killed Stephen. Cat's paw also. He used cat's paw. Yeah. But these are God liked them. Be careful with people God likes. Will you be careful? Be careful with God. You don't know why God uses them. Especially fathers. You be careful. That is why we teach about these things. It's so that we have nothing to say. Those who are dangerous sons. And you see, you would understand why God loves David. He said, I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. Say something.
I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand in thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is a territory in itself. For whither the tribes go up, even the tribes of the Lord, to testify unto Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there is a seat of judgment, even the seat of the house of David. Oh, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and plenteous grace within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will wish ye prosperity.
This is David.
Yea, because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek to do ye good.
This is David.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
That's David. And you see, you can see why God likes such people. Yes. I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. So be careful. You don't know why God chose Noah. You don't know why God chose that man. Why God chose that pastor. Why God chose... Be careful when you just criticize, you talk, Lord. Don't take yourself as a journalist in the church. Yes. A commentator, a spectator. Loyalty is important. And then you have those who accuse. Hey, look, accusers, you must learn to fight accusations. Accusation weakens the pastor. So, we all know you. All that you want is this. All you want is that. It's fantastic. And you see that ministers cannot do anything. And you see, sometimes, because you have accused somebody, when I took an offering, you accused me. That's why now that you are a pastor and you need to take an offering, you have sacrificed your ability to raise an offering because of your accusations of somebody else. The seeds that you sown of accusation have weakened you. You got to be careful the things you say. Bible says strength, power, salvation has come because the accuser of the brethren is cast down. When you read this book, you will see what we call the laws of the accuser. Oh yes. Many people who are accused of the exact opposite of what they are. When you are good, you will be accused of bad. When you are holy, you will be accused of unholy. When you are this, like Moses, he was accused of everything the opposite. Jesus the same. Be careful. Some of you accuse Nigerians of doing church for money. There are good Nigerians. Very great. Look, there are places only a Nigerian church is found there. I went to Guinea-Bissau preaching like this. I went to 6 or 7 cities. Six cities in Guinea-Bissau. There's no electricity at all. When I say electricity, you see these lights are on. There is nothing like that. They use torches in the whole country. From north to south. We went to a town. The only pastor you see, a Nigerian, coming to start Winners Chapel in that town. You see, it made me respect these people. And you see, we cannot do. What can you do? Even just to Polokwane, you cannot go to Polokwane. We are going for a crusade in this Springbok or somewhere. There's some place somewhere in the corner there. Yeah. Somebody said, how are you going there? Why are you going there? Why don't you also go there? I don't know these places. Just see them on the map. But it's too far for you. You see, your accusations of people, your criticism, you criticize this, you criticize that, it makes you powerless. Paul attacked pastors when he was not a Christian. Those seeds that he sowed followed him throughout the rest of his ministry because he taught and sowed the seed of beating pastors up. And throughout his life, from the first day of his ministry, they were beating him. And they beat him till he died out of this world. I tell you. You better be careful. The things you say, you talk about people's marriages, you talk about Benny Hinn, you talk about Bonke, you talk about me. What have I done against you? I've come to have a crusade. You have a mouth to talk. The nya, 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 nya. Hey! Why? What bad thing is being done? Why do you allow the devil to use you? But what you don't realize is that it is weakening you yourself. You are going to be weak. You will not be able to even take an offering. I tell you, when you start to take an offering, you remember all the things you said. And you just put your hand down behind your back. You can't talk. Many times I look at South Africa, they can't take offerings. South Africa, you can't take offerings. You can't take offerings properly. Because you criticize so much. You talk about that. And those people who come and they tell you, and those who, oh yeah, this West Africa, and this South Africa. And you have nothing. You can't do anything to. Yes.
Paul, he was beaten till he died, I tell you. He was beat. The seed that he sowed in the church, how to beat pastors. This is how to beat pastors. He beat Stephen. He was on his way to beat more pastors in Damascus when he got saved. And he ripped it till he died. He was beaten. One day they beat him. They thought he was dead. When he got up, he said, through much tribulation we must enter. It's not that through much tribulation, the seeds you have sown, this is what you have to reap. Not so much of tribulation, but through your seeds, you have made tribulation come to your life. Hey! Watch out, those who accuse you. And then, those who forget. You've been in the church, pastors preached to you, prayed for you, officiated your marriage, counseled you, been to visit you in the hospital, come to you in time of emergency. When you are going, you don't even say goodbye. Just even, bye-bye, pastor, I'm going. You've forgotten everything that was ever done for you. Huh? Pastors, and you want people to also remember you? This is the greatest mistake and open door for disloyalty, is forgetting. Look, the Bible says there's a beautiful verse that starts this book. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. It says, God is not unrighteous to forget. So, forgetting is unrighteousness. Forgetting is unrighteousness. It's unrighteous to forget what somebody has done for you. It's unrighteous. Our pastor here has opened his church for me to come and preach. He's sitting here. It's an honor. It's a great thing. It's a blessing to us. We are grateful. You have to be grateful and you have to remember what has been done for you. There are some people, they don't remember anything. They don't remember anything. The counseling you gave them, they just minimize it and they just trivialize it and just, you know, just for, you gave them money, you look after them, you did, oh, they don't remember anything. They don't want, they black it out, they don't want to remember. The kindness you showed them. Do you have such people in South Africa? I wrote a book for them, a whole book for them. When you preach it in the church, they will remember. Look at this pastor. When he was getting married, he got married in London. I took a plane to fly to his wedding. He was 20-something years old. He's almost 50 years old now. Counseled him. Appointed him. Encouraged him. Gave him a church. Gave him a church. Gave him another church. A bigger one. Say, okay, have this church. Pastor it. Build churches. Travel here. Travel with me. Sit in my car. Stay with me in the house. Hey. But you see people, they don't remember anything. When the evil spirit comes on them, they say, you have not done anything for me. So I remember one pastor, he had never got a visa before. You know, you need visa to go to certain places. In South Africa too now, you need visas, isn't it? Because you are getting poorer. At first, you didn't need visas to go anywhere, but now you need visas. There was a bishop, he got him a visa to go. Sent him to Europe, established a church there. He was the pastor of the church. One day, he just turned against the pastor who sent him. Turned against him, turned, and wrote him a letter. You have done nothing for me. There is no whatever, this and that and that. Hey! And one day I visited the bishop
who sent him there. And I told him, you know, I saw your pastor you sent. And when I mentioned his name, he also became agitated. He said, that guy, ungrateful and weak. He said, look, one day he will come to my house. When he comes to my house and the security tells me that so-so and so is at the gate, I will tell them, release the dogs. Release the dogs. Release the dogs. Then he lifted his fingers like this. He lifted his fingers like this and said, the wind is against that young man. The wind is against him. That's all. Then he continued talking. And he pointed, he said, this, that guy who is talking so big now, he said he used to pray here. He was one of my house boys. He used to pray on the floor here. He pointed here. He would sit here on the floor and pray. They're like house boys and servants. And I encouraged him and raised him up. Got him a visa. Went to the ambassador. Got a visa. Sent him. Established him. He doesn't remember. He says, I have done nothing for him. He just lifted his hand and said, the wind is against him. And the wind started to blow. Hey! Then one day I traveled to that country and I saw this pastor with his wife. They had gone shopping to buy household goods like frying pan, cooking pot, big nice things to make a big nice family. And they were in the pushing the trolley like this together, walking lovingly together. The nice family in Europe. You a houseboy from Ghana. They've made you a man of God in another country. You say this man has done nothing for you. Okay. So he was with his wife going family shopping. Everybody say family shopping. And they were going. When I saw him, I just ducked behind the shelves, and I said, hey, this is the guy whom the wind is against him. Yeah. Then the wind started to blow. The wind blew away his morality. He went and slept with some girls in the church. Then the wind blew away his wife. Blew away his children. Then the wind blew his church members. His church got finished. Then the wind blew away his visa. His visa also got finished. Now he was out. Today he stands alone. The wind has blown everything away. This is the future of those who forget. Those who forget. Look, ask Judas. Judas. When he was about to betray Jesus, he became one of the most forgetful human beings ever. This Jesus, you are going to betray him, turn against him for 30 pieces of silver. 3 years you followed him. Have you been hungry? 3 years, did he not give you somewhere to stay? You forgot the miracles he did, how he raised Lazarus from the dead after 4 days. The kind of person you say you are going to serve, Son of God, you've seen that he's not an ordinary person. But it's like his mind went into blackout mode. I couldn't remember. Those who forget, they are a very dangerous group of people. And those who pretend, they'll sit with you. That's why in this book, Loyalty and Disloyalty, I have 39 signs of disloyalty. 39 signs. Those who don't write notes when you are preaching. Those who don't say amen anymore. Those who don't smile. When everybody is smiling, they don't smile. Those who don't laugh when everybody is laughing. They are very dangerous people, I tell you. Hey, watch out, Pastor. When you are preaching, you see them. Everybody is happy, they'll be looking at you. I'm not impressed by what I hear. Yeah. You see, Cain, Bible says that when God blessed Abel, Cain's countenance fell. If only Abel had read this book, he would have known the signs of disloyalty that his brother has turned against him. And he may still be alive today. Yes. Finally, those who leave you. People who leave are some of the most dangerous trouble causers in churches. Hey. One person who leaves, you see, that's why I always announce at the crusade, don't go. When you go out, it's like you take a swath of people with you.
It's true.
It's like you are inspiring people to leave. And you say, but I haven't said anything, but you are inspiring them to leave the church. People ask, are you not going to church? Oh, no. Why are you not going? Oh, there's nothing. Oh, are you sure? Oh, I don't want to talk about anything. Now, so listen, I've worked at the highest level of this church. There are things I know I don't want to go into. They'll give you proverbs. Those who leave you, they will say, look, when a crocodile comes from under the water and tells you that there is a snake there, you must believe him. I have come from under the waters of the church and I'm telling you there is something there. A snake. They have proverbs. They will tell you it is only when you go near to the riverside that you hear the crabs coughing. Do you understand? Like crabs, you know that crabs actually cough. But it's when you go close and you say, look, I have been close to the church. I've been close to the pastor. I know what is going on. You see there is something wrong. When you get close, you see that there is a disease. The pastor is sick. This is happening. Wow. There are people, you see this verse he's got at the back there, Ezekiel 34. And I will cause showers to come down. Before this one, he warns the shepherds and the sheep. He says, those of you who drink the waters of the church and you trample the rest, you muddy the rest. Some of you were in this church. You even have the audacity to come for this conference and sit in this church. After being a member here, and the last thing you did before you left this church, you came, remove your zip, and urinated here, and smell up the whole church and walk out of the church. The last thing you did was to leave a bad smell in this church. So that everybody who comes here starts asking the questions, my smell, what is going on? I see, I don't feel, I don't feel at ease here. There's something wrong here. There's something wrong with the pastor. There's something wrong. Pray for him. Pray for him. Pray for his wife. I tell you, I've worked there. When a crocodile comes from under the water and tells you there is a snake there, you have to believe him. I'm the crocodile. I was under the water. I tell you, I was under the waters of the church. When a crab comes, well, it's only when you go near the riverside that you hear the crab coughing. But when you see the crabs walking, you never know they are coughing. Do you have such things in Worcester or South Africa? Hey! Pastors, and you see, what you don't realize is that disloyalty is a seed. As you sow the seed, nobody will also be loyal to you. So you too cannot build a big church. Yeah, you cannot build a big church. Because you have shown people how to attack fathers, how to attack pastors, and how to leave churches. You left with 15 people. You left with 6 people. And so you are showing them how to leave. So when they leave, they also leave you. You got to read this book, Those Who Leave You. It's one of the best books I ever wrote. This one, Those Who Leave You. Yeah, Those Who Leave You. Yeah. And that's what you need healing from in South Africa. Yeah. You want to build a mega church, you can't put 100 blocks. When you come in the morning, 60 are gone. You build another 100, when you come in the morning, another 65 are gone. You add another 200 blocks, when you come, 138 blocks are gone. By wicked, those who forget and those who leave you, they're taking 138 blocks. Then you might as well build a sand castle by the seaside. Every wave will come and take away your castle. Wicked people. Listen, my friends, it is a requirement in stewards that a man found favor. In this book, Ministerial Ethics, where is it? It is in this collection anyway. It is here. I have a chapter on. This book, Ministerial Ethics. How to leave a church. If you want to leave a church, there is how to leave. You see, when Jacob left his uncle Laban, his uncle chased him and told him, listen, I could have cursed you, but God appeared to me in a dream. that I shouldn't curse you. Because the way he left will bring about a curse. Yes, the way he left. So look, I could have cursed you, and God had to stop him, because if Laban had cursed Jacob, it would have happened. Because of the way he left, he took his daughters. You can't leave somebody's church and take the person's daughters and his sons and run away with them. You are near to be cursed. If the person opens his mouth, that is it. Go and read your Bible. Ministerial Ethics. When you get this book, you see it's right there. You can't run away with somebody's children. You can't run away with somebody's children. You can't run away with somebody's sons, somebody's daughters, people that he has lectured for years. Well, who do you think you are? You get up and you take the people, you influence them, and you just put them on a camel and take them out of the church. Go and read your Bible. Go and read your Bible. I told you, if it's what I said is not in the Bible, throw it away. But if it's in the Bible, Laban said, listen, I could curse you, but I had a dream the night. God told me not to say anything to you because you are a blessed person. Ministerial Ethics. Yeah. Many of us are called to the ministry, but because we keep on attacking each other, people don't want to work for God. We are all afraid of the ministry. Everybody say, let me keep my job. Let me work in the bank. Because it's a very dangerous thing. Half of the people will leave one day and there will be nothing left. And it breaks down and breaks up and breaks down. But you need to teach on these topics. Don't despise the opportunity that we have given to you here in Worcester. Take it from me. God wants to use somebody in South Africa for great things. And I believe it will be you. Stand to your feet, everybody. Please let me pray before you walk out. Let me pray before you walk out. Father, I thank you for these wonderful pastors. Great, great men of God you have called, you have used. Touch every life, touch every heart, touch everyone here with your great and mighty Spirit, Lord. Oh, build your church, Lord. Let your church be established. Let your church be established. Establish your church. Take away this horrible spirit, Lord, of unfaithfulness and wickedness, forgetting, leaving, destroying one another, destroying the church. My God and my Lord, thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your help. Place your hand on your heart. Father, forgive us for our sins. Some of us have done so many wrong things, but tonight we ask for your mercy, your love, your kindness. Lord, we are sorry for breaking away our pastor's church, and we want to apologize, Lord. We are apologizing to you. We will apologize to him later and to them, Lord. Give us a new start. Start again. Another opportunity to do well, to do better. We give you praise. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. How many are blessed today? How many feel God has spoken to you? Yeah. Listen, I just want to say one last thing before I go. Although these products are not here yet, they are on the way. I hear they are coming at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Not to here, but to Pretoria. But they will come. Everybody who registered, that's what you wanted, will get. But I want you to get these things. The Makane, this loyalty collection here. The Macarius. Never has it ever been given anywhere. This $240. You can ask anybody who was in Soweto in January this year. This was sold there. Only for Worcester is happening. We are saying that if you register with $40, we will give you this Macario. All these books, I keep on introducing because I can't really preach about it. Because if I start into it, I will not get far. It's endless. So I just try to introduce you and whet your appetite and show you what is in there so that you have an idea. And there are so many things I didn't even get to get into it. But make sure if you don't have money here, you come to the field tonight to get it, book it, get it, it's worth it. If you have a brother, a sister, a cousin who is a pastor, get one. Come and register. Even if you register twice, we will close our eyes. We will say we didn't see you the first time you registered. And we pretend that we haven't noticed you. Because we want to be a blessing. It's a blessing. Amen to you. So don't make the mistake of not receiving the seed. The $2 million seed. Remember the story? Remember the story of the horse? How much was his weekend? How much was the weekend with the horse and the seed of the horse? 28 million rand. Eish. That's expensive sex, isn't it? Amen. It's going to be a great blessing to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, before we go, we are going to receive an offering. Amen. And Dr. Go is going to... Have you already received the offering? Let me take the offering. Sometimes I never take offering myself. Let me take it myself. Do you give envelopes? Give me envelopes. Give me envelopes. Yeah. Listen, I want to encourage many of us as pastors. When we were in Sierra Leone, now I'm taking an offering. When we were in Sierra Leone, our truck fell down a mountain, this one of these trucks. Because when the driver turned ahead, soldiers with guns came out and pointed at the driver, and he was scared. The truck went back and fell over a mountain and fell down. But the driver escaped, but he fell on somebody's car. Only one church. You know, we had a big crusade in a stadium. I can show you the pictures. Full. Only one church, Winners Chapel from Nigeria, they wrote a check and sent a large amount. Oh, God bless you. Come all the way from Ghana to Sierra Leone driving. It takes 10 days to drive. 10 days driving. 10 days driving to come there. Through many countries to come there. And they said, here is a small offer. This was the only church. And of course, it will be a prosperous church. Many of us here, on behalf of your churches, you should sow a seed into Healing Jesus campaign. We have come only to be a blessing to you. Take an envelope and say, Pastor, on behalf of my even a church sowing a seed, we want to give 10,000. 10,000 is not even $1,000. 20,000, 50,000, 100,000, whatever. 1,000 as a blessing to the campaign. And do you not think that it will be a blessing to your ministry? It will be a blessing to your ministry. It's nothing. It's your chance to give an offering. Is it a good thing or it's not a good thing? And I want all of us as pastors, let us learn it. You see, sometimes you wonder, why is it that this ministry has money? We don't have anything. And one of the reasons sometimes we don't give or we don't sometimes have the opportunity to give. So I'm going to give you this envelope so that you sow a seed. Either right now or tonight when you come, you put it at the front there. Amen. And it will be a blessing to you. And you are sowing to Healing Jesus. You are not buying a car. I have no need of a car or anything. I only use one pair of shoes. I don't need any more shoes. I'm okay for the rest of my life. Amen. You are sowing to help to buy fuel to drive from here. We are going to Springbok. Do you know Springbok? Far away. Have you been there before? You are from there. Upington. Yeah, it's one of the towns. Yeah. Far away. And going up mountains all over the place is a blessing. So if you are here today, you want to say, Pastor, I am going to sow a special seed. 1,000, 10,000, 20,000, in thousands. Come for my envelope right now. On behalf of yourself, on behalf of your church, you can come for my envelope right away. Come, just come for my envelope. Thank you, Pastor. We appreciate your generosity. You can give it tonight. You can even give it by wiring to the account of Healing Jesus campaign in South Africa. If you get the account. Just come all the way to me. And watch how I'm receiving an offering. So you learn how to do it in your churches too. And don't criticize it. Lest what happened to Paul will happen to you. To follow you the rest of your days. Only about 10 pastors have come in. 10 people are coming. 1,000. I want you to sow a seed in 1,000 because the bills are huge in thousands. Anybody else? And you want to give? Yeah. Some people cannot come. Anybody else? Thank you, Pastor. God bless you. Are we doing something that is good? Is it a blessing? Sorry, sir. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. What a blessing. Is there anybody else? Come quickly, please. Come quickly so that we don't waste much time on this. We're just closing. We're closing. Please, I hope I'm not doing blood transfusion. Let's just give. Just quickly come and let's give. Two envelopes. Okay. If you cannot come, you want to just can I have the offering basket here, right? Just right here. You cannot come. God bless you. And maybe you can't give 1,000, 5,000, but you can give maybe 500, or is 500 a lot of money? Any amount you can give. Anything you can give. You want to give. You don't. The money you are calling, I don't have, but I have something. Please come, because I can't get to you. Come for my envelope. Come. Please come to me. Sorry. Otherwise, by the time I'm there, I have to come back here. Doctor, help me to give the envelopes out. Thank you. I don't have these amounts you are mentioning, 1,000, 5,000, 2,000, but I have something and I want to give. Three envelopes. Thank you. Please make a strong effort to sow a seed. This happened to me many years ago. I was in Zurich, in Switzerland, and I visited a church. And the Holy Spirit whispered to me, sow a seed in the church. And I sowed a seed. Today I have a church in Zurich. Amen. One of the largest churches in Zurich for more than 20 years. Amen. So sow a seed. Maybe as you sow a seed in this evangelism, one day you may be driving around in trucks, preaching the gospel, doing wonderful things for God. As you sow a seed into it, it means you've not criticized it, but you supported it. And what you admire comes to you. Amen. What you criticize and attack goes away from you. Amen. Is there anybody else? Anything you want to give? Okay. Take out your offering, whatever you have to give to the Lord today. Take it out. Whatever offering you have. Tonight you bring the envelope. Tonight is the last night. We'll be out there in a few hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. We'll be starting the service. Amen. Lift your offering up and let's pray. Father, what a blessing. We thank you as we have the opportunity to sow a seed again and again and again and again. Bless us and bless the great and wonderful church of Worcester in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.